Time once again for Open Court with Fairfield head basketball coach Chris Casey. Along with the coach, I'm Bob Huesler, joined by my broadcast partner, the former Fairfield great, the Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis. And the Stags are trending up, three straight wins right now for Fairfield, with a couple of home games approaching this Thanksgiving week as we sit down with Coach Casey. A reminder that the player edition of Open Court this time around will feature Deuce Turner, the Stags' first-year guard and tri-captain, is averaging 23 points per game during this Fairfield winning streak. So be sure to look for the player edition of Open Courts coming soon if it has not already dropped. Coach, before we get to your most recent game, that was the win up in Syracuse against Lemoyne, let's hit the rewind button and go back and just get your thoughts on the Mahoney Classic. We haven't spoken to you since then. That was the Fairfield MTE. We'll talk about the games against Stonehill Loyola briefly, but just the event itself, the reaction you got from your opposing coaches, the schools themselves, how did things go from an operational standpoint, and what kind of feedback did you get on the MTE?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bob. Couple things I would say about the MTE. First thing is to have Nivea Men as a sponsor for that event was really fantastic for us. And the feedback we got from them was they really, really enjoyed it, and they were very high on what happened and how the event unfolded. And the second thing I would say about the event is that the staff here at Fairfield, in particular Bill D'Amica and Zach Dayton, and then obviously our game day staffs, they did a great job with putting the event together. And the opposing teams and coaches gave us terrific reviews on it. They thought the quotes were a first-class event. So we're really excited about how it came off. We want to grow it. We want to do it again next year. We're working on teams right now to try to schedule them. We're talking about and talks about a format. Do we want to do two teams again? Do we want to do three teams and make it a round robin? Three teams, make it a tournament format? None of that has been decided yet, nor will it right away. But the event went so well that we're in discussions about how to grow it.
That's excellent. So you led right into my other question. Should we look forward to another Mahoney Classic, perhaps presented again by Nivea Men? And the answer is yes. And Joe, I know you had a follow-up.
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts. The first thought, why didn't you schedule that Loyola? You should have scheduled that Loyola game at 7, so they would be dead tired the next day playing you guys at 1. That was my first observation. The second observation, first of all, I thought it was great. I thought for me, and I kind of, Bob and I talk, obviously, there was like a buzz in there, you know, and I thought it was cool to have it as your opening day, home opener, if you will. The second thing is, and I'm going to try to be Debbie Downer, could you get like local teams so that like middle game, the attendance maybe would be a little better?
Yeah, that's not a Debbie Downer question at all. You know, we're talking about that, you know, with the local teams, and we're in talks with some teams that may be a little more, you know, regional for us. You know, certainly Stonehill is to some degree. And then the other part of it is we're also trying to make it an event where the schools match Fairfield's mission and what Fairfield's trying to accomplish as a university. So that's part of what we're trying to do too. And we're trying to stay as close as possible to that formula. It's not always going to be where we're able to do it, but that's what we would like to do.
You were in the locker room during halftime, but I know what Joe wants back more than anything else are the corgi races. I never saw Joe laugh so hard during. We were on the air and they had the dogs, the corgis.
So I got to tell a story because all the Fairfield faithful are at the gate, but they didn't hear it.
Yeah.
So Bob's doing a schedule breakdown for Fairfield?
Both teams, yeah.
And all of a sudden, this dog race happens.
Right.
I'm laughing. When he's done promoting the schedule, I said, we're first. Bob, I didn't hear one word you just said. I said, what is this place coming to?
Followed by the worst dog puns you've ever heard. But it was fun. It was fun. The point is, the event itself, the entire weekend.
Oh, Joe, let me know when that is next time. I'll skip the halftime talk, and I'll come out for the dog race.
They all had little booties on it. I didn't want to say it on the
TV on the air, but they look like New York City rats.
One of them actually had to be physically held off the
floor. That's not funny.
Blew out an Achilles tendon or something. But the games themselves were very competitive. Yes. Stonehill overtime. Loyola, they almost got you at the finish line, but they didn't. So I guess when you look back at those games, Coach, there's a good and the bad. But the fact is, you had to handle adversity and did it successfully. So even though it's now past history and we're looking ahead to Columbia, there was something to be said for how you came through that MTE in terms of those two wins.
Yeah, I really, you know, when we talked to our team after the game, both games, I thought it was a great opportunity for us to handle adversity. And good teams do that. And teams that are successful throughout the year do that. And you have to, you can't run from it. You know, you have to wrap your arms around it and embrace it. And I thought what helped us too, even though they did kind of, both teams closed on us at the end, we did play from in front. And I always think that that's important. If you can play from in front, both at home and on the road, and make teams catch you, obviously it gives you an advantage. And we did that in both games. So I thought that was helpful down the stretch too.
And you did that successfully at Lemoyne, especially. You built a huge lead in that first half against the Dolphins. So my question is this going to be a point of emphasis? You coach your team. Look, we want to hit these guys in the mouth hard right out of the gate. And how were you able specifically to accomplish that in your most recent game up at Lemoyne?
Well, that's always a point of emphasis, and I think it's a point of emphasis for every team. Like, nobody wants to get off to a bad start, you know. Just like this time of year, every team's talking about winning a championship. You know, everybody's having the same discussions. It's a matter of, you know, what's your stamina like, what's your attitude like day to day. Are you working hard enough day to day so that your actions match your words? So we're always want to get off to a good start. You know, we always emphasize the way you get off to a good start, especially on the road, is defending, rebounding, and taking care of the basketball. So it's always a point of emphasis for us. We were fortunate enough to be able to do it against Lemoyne. And again, it was a situation in the second half. You know, I thought defensively we were very good in the first half. The second half, not as much. Offensively, I thought we were good the entire game. And it allowed us to play from in front and make them catch us. And, you know, we were able to hold them off at the end.
I've been a little bit critical in the late part of games about shot selection, especially from the young guys when you had the lead. But you won all three of those games I'm talking about. Do you feel you know your team better this year at this point than you did last year's team?
Oh, boy. I'm trying to remember last year.
Oh, I'm trying to remember it.
It's you know, there's so much stuff that's running through your head right now in terms of basketball. I really, you know, it's not in my mind at all about anything from last year. I feel like the team is getting to know what I'm looking for, and you know I'm getting a little bit better feel for them. I think that's a process throughout the year, especially with so many new guys. You know, and I think the other part of that too, Joe, is every coach's battle is shot selection. Mm-hmm. And every coach's, and you know this from doing it, and it's every coach's battle, every game and every practice. And I think there's a fine line, you know, between wanting to make sure that their foot is on the gas and they're playing knowing that you trust their decisions and handcuffing them, you know, and I try to be very careful on that line because I want their foot on the gas. And I think you're going to have to stomach some bad shots occasionally, you know, to be able to get them to understand what a good shot is, what a bad shot is, but still keep their foot on the gas. You know, after every game, we go through the game and we keep a count of shots that are not good shots, that are ill-advised shots. You're always going to have some of them, you know, based on situations and the shot clock, you know, things like that. But you want to limit them. And what we want to limit them to like 10% of our shots. If we can come out of a game where we can look at it, chart it, and say, well, okay, 10% of our shots were ill-advised. They weren't good ones. I feel pretty good about that. For instance, that Lemoyne game, we were at 11% of our shots were bad ones. So we do take a look at it. We do talk to our guys about it. But we also kind of, you know, toe the line a little bit with making sure they keep their foot on the gas and play knowing we trust their decisions.
And I meant it, I don't know if it came out this way, I meant it as a positive. So in each one of those three games, you had leads. And even the Lemoyne game, you're big, it got down to 9, I think. And you had 4 freshmen in there at one time. So, and those guys, by the way, Rawlins played well, Rodriguez played well, Butter Williams gave you some, man, Moncotti. But I felt like you knew the team well enough to go back to who you needed to go back to, namely the starters, and you were going to win the game, and you did. So that's why I asked that question.
You mentioned in that Lemoyne game your defense in the second half wasn't as good as you saw in the first half. What was the difference, and what are the things you need to work on to make sure it's tightened up next time around?
Yeah, you know, first I'm going to rewind a little bit, too, and go back to Joe quickly. So I think the other part of that, too, is, Joe, I want those young guys and those bench guys to know I trust them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if your hooks are quick for the wrong reason, they don't feel like you trust
100%.
Them. And then what happens is they go into games very tentatively and they don't give good minutes. And really in that game, that Lemoyne game, and I told the team this after the game, you know, their 10 to 15 minutes that those bench guys got where they really impacted the game throughout the game are as valuable and maybe more valuable than the guys who are playing 28, 30, 32 minutes and impacting the game, because there's no tail off and there's no weak link. And that's really important. Bob, to go back to you with the second half, we had a lead. We had an 18-point lead at the half, and what we talked about at halftime now is they're going to go a little bit into desperation mode and just start driving the ball, you know, because they want to catch up.
Mm-hmm.
And they were 0.99 points per possession in the first half. They finished the game at 1.15. So, which means in the second half, I didn't chart out the second half, but they were probably like around 1.3 in the second half. Mm-hmm. You always want to hold them at 1 or under if you can. That's always a goal. We were 1.4 for the game offensively, so we were very good offensively. The second half, they went into a lot more of driving the basketball, and we didn't guard the ball well. And we also didn't our rotations weren't sharp and aggressive. You know, we have a rule. I don't want to go too far. Be too, I don't know, expansive, I guess is the word here. But we have a rule on ball screens. It's impact the ball, shut the lane down, close out the shooters. We have the same rule on drives. So when a guy's beat on a baseline drive, it's the same rule. Impact the ball with the rotation, get down to the level of the ball and shut down the lane, and then close out the shooters. We didn't guard the ball well enough. We didn't rotate hard enough outside the lane. We were rotating inside of the lane, and we were not doing a good job of shutting the lane down and making them, you know, make passes where we could get to closeouts. So I thought that was the biggest part of it. And the second part of that, too, Bob, was because you're in rotations constantly by not guarding the ball, it affects your defensive rebounding, because you don't have exact blockout assignments, and they offensive rebounded the ball well against us because of that. So I thought those were the two main culprits in that. And then the last one I would give you was, I thought we did a good job of walling up around the basket against them in the first half, not so much in the second half, but too many reach-ins and too many going out of vertical where we fouled them and put them on the line, especially late clock, you know, 5, 4, 3 seconds on the shot clock.
How much time did you spend correcting that today in practice as we speak to you on a Monday?
Well, we watched it on film, so today was kind of a long day for the guys. They did a really good job with it. You know, on a typical, we took yesterday off, and what we did today was, and this is typical, you know, day after a game or, you know, 2 days after a game, we have a day off in there. We watched film on our game to start. So we started with our game, you know, things we did well, things we got to do better. That was all that stuff was evident on the film. And what we maybe, especially young guys, what we have to understand is when you're coaching, and Joe, you know this, when you coach. So let's say, you know, points of emphasis for us are always closeouts, one-on-one defense, great rotations, block out, rebounding the basketball, right? Keeping the ball out of the middle on drives. You work on those things all preseason. You work on them in the summer. Now you get to the games, you got to prepare for the games. So I'm sitting there now, and there's things Columbia does that you have to go over. But at the same time, I watched the film and I'm going, well, you know, our closeouts, our on-ball defense wasn't what it needed to be. Our rotations wasn't what it needed to be. So now as a coach, you're sitting there and you're going, okay, what, yeah. you know, where do we go? And this is the same conversation I had with the team. And I said, listen, fellas, I can't, you got to retain. You know, and you got to understand what is important to us defensively. We're not giving you 10, 12 things that are important. We're giving you 3-4 things that we have to do well every game, you know, to be good defensively. And you got to retain them and you got to do them game to game. Otherwise, I watch it on film and I say, you know, we're not doing it well enough, but we got to prepare for the next game, which is right around the corner. So you put me in a tight spot with that. So those are things that we went over on film and we did some work on them in practice, Bob, and then also, you know, we made sure that we had preparation for Columbia mixed in there, too.
Let's talk about some of the individual stacks, starting with the guy who was our guest this week on the player edition of Open Court, Deuce Turner, one of your tri-captains. He has averaged 23 points a game during the winning streak. Obviously, the first three games, and we talked to him about this, weren't what he wanted, not what you wanted. What do you see as the difference in Deuce Turner's game right now as opposed to earlier in the season?
I don't know if there's a difference in his game. I think what he's done is gotten more comfortable with what we're doing. And then we've also made an effort to try to go to him on certain things too, you know, to try to get him going. And, you know, he makes a shot, maybe run the next thing for him. And he's really good at, you know, you talk about shot selection, Joe. He's really good at, okay, you ran this for me, but they defended it. Next thing, you know. So I think it's more like he's gotten a little bit more comfortable with what we're doing. He knows that we have 100% confidence in him. And, you know, I expected him to just get better and better. And he shook off those first few games and he has gotten better and he's helped us win. And to his credit, too, he's really made an effort to be good on the defensive end, you know, which I'm really happy about. And that's part of his leadership role, you know, because we emphasize certain things defensively and he's really working hard to do them. So now he can hold others accountable during the course of practice if they're not being done.
Eric Mejia is starting to get more minutes, more playing time. In fact, he's been inserted into the starting lineup the last couple of games. What is it about Eric's game that has inspired, I'm not going to call it a promotion, but he's getting more playing time?
Yeah, and that's part of, you know, I go back to, like, you know, every coach's battle is shot selection, especially in the beginning of the year and throughout the year. The other thing that happens is, you know, early on in the season, everybody's going through this, roles being defined, minutes being defined, who does what on offense, who does what on defense. And that's every team in the country is going through that, including us, especially with as many new guys as we have. So right now, we rotate in that spot some. You know, Braden's pretty much been solidified and Deuce has pretty much been solidified, and then we're looking for that third guy and, you know, guys to play well off the bench. And, you know, we kind of rotated Eric in there. He performed well in the MTE weekend, and he was really good against Lemoyne. And, you know, what he does, if you watch him, he sets a tone for our defense. He picks up point guards full court, and he sets a tone for our defense. And, you know, we did that over the weekend, and the MTE did it against Lemoyne. And then he's been good defensively. He gets his hands on basketballs and deflects them. And offensively, really good passer. And I think as he continues to get comfortable, you're going to see even more and more offense from him, too, because he can score.
You emphasize defense. You emphasize rebounding. Right now, as we speak to you, Fairfield in the MAC is ranked first in total rebounds. You're the best defensive rebounding team on a percentage basis. Rebounding was something that last year's Fairfield team struggled with. Beyond the obvious that you now have a Brandon Benjamin out there, a Declan Walker-Fennick, to name two guys, is there anything else that has gone into what is a marked improvement in that area, or is it just a simple matter of personnel?
Yeah, well, we always emphasized it. That's always been something I've done as a head coach, is to emphasize it. And, you know, you get what you emphasize for the most part, but it's also, I always say this, it's not what you do, it's how you do it, and it's who you're doing it with. So if you want to rebound better, you got to continue to drill rebounding and make it a point of emphasis, but you also have to have guys that can go rebound a basketball. And I think, you know, that was something that we stressed in recruiting, and the staff did a good job of, you know, finding good players who can do that. You know, so that's a big part of it. You have to have guys that are bought into it and guys that are capable of doing it.
You've been, Chris, you've been consistent with the 80-20 deal, 80% us, 20% them. Does the scouting report, the scouting that you guys do, have anything to do with you guys being a good rebounding team, being in place, knowing what they're running, so on and so forth?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's – I don't know, Joe. I you know, we certainly work on it and scout. We work on it in practice. It's a good question. I'm going to give more of the credit to the guys on the floor going and getting the basketball. I think that that's really where the you know, the credit lies. They go get the ball. They go rebound the basketball. And we have room to grow in that area and get better at it. I still don't think we haven't gotten that third offensive rebounder getting to the glass consistently to offensive rebound the ball. I think our weak side blockouts have to get better, you know, particularly from teams that shoot a lot of threes, and we're going to see that on Wednesday. So we're good at it, and I think we got room to grow at it. So my hope is to, you know, continue to drill it and get even better at it.
I mentioned Brandon Benjamin's name a couple of moments ago in reference to the rebounding. We'd be remiss if we didn't congratulate him. We got word from Drew Kingsley before we began here today that he is again the MAC Rookie of the Week. So obviously he is no longer a secret in this league in terms of, and this is something we've talked about, but in terms of even since we last spoke to you, the work that Brandon has put in so far in this freshman year, which is reaping early rewards, how much has he tapped into his what he's capable of doing, and how high is the ceiling for him?
The first thing I would say about him is, and we talked about this, he's got an unbelievable approach and an unbelievable personality and demeanor, and that's what allows him to be good. He's obviously a very talented young man, but his outlook on everything and the way he approaches everything is outstanding. And I think he's got room to grow. You know, he's starting to finish a little better around the basket. He's putting the ball on the floor a little bit better. He can make an open three. You know, I think he's 1-for-2 right now on the year. He hasn't had a ton of opportunities, but I encourage him when he is able to pick and pop to shoot threes. You know, you watch him off the dribble. He had an unbelievable move in transition in the Lemoyne game. Like, he took it coast to coast, and then Euro stepped on somebody and finished. You know, and then there's another possession in the game where he just runs to the rim in transition like he's supposed to, and Deuce throws him a great lob. So, you know, he's got room to grow. But the biggest thing for him is his approach is fantastic. And I'm going to say this, too. You know, he's twice Rookie of the Week now, and Declan's not far behind him. You know, and I wouldn't even say that he is behind him. You watch some of the things Declan's doing. You know, he's got great numbers, and he's doing some really good things as a freshman, too. And, you know, those two guys are out there a few more minutes, but I also love what Tony Nas and Halon are capable of, too. So it's a good group of freshmen.
Yeah, expand upon that. I was just going to ask you the question about this group of freshmen, two of whom are starting for you, and the three others, you just ran down their names, are starting to contribute in meaningful ways. Freshmen obviously are just that, but are you even maybe a little bit more confident in this group of five really good Fairfield freshmen as far as what they can become as the season, you know, gets into the money months of January and February and March?
I don't know if my confidence level in them changes. I have confidence that they're very good all the time. I believe that. I tell them that. We coach them like that, and I believe that. I think what changes as they grow as players, if they embrace the grind, embrace coaching, listen to the right voices, they're doing all those things, and they're just going to continue to grow as players. And I, you know, the vision is that, you know, what they are now is you're going to see different guys in February, you know, just because of the growth. Yep. But what's really important is that they continue to grind, their attitudes continue to be good, and stamina. You know, that's the biggest battle, I think, for good freshmen throughout a season. You know, the college basketball season is over two times as long as the prep school and high school season.
Right.
You know, so the stamina's got to be there, not only, you know, for the team, but also especially individually for freshmen. You got to have mental stamina. You have to have physical stamina because it's required with the length of the season. So they embrace those things. They're just going to continue to grow.
Okay, it's time for the Lex Yetna portion of the program, which means we're going to ask you about Ryan Zan. I think I saw him on the bench there up at LeMoyne. Correct me if I'm wrong. And we'll ask you again about Peyton Smith. Any update on him or Noah Best, Matt Curtis? Why don't you run it down for us?
So Ryan is back practicing. So we'll see where we can mix him in. You possibly could see him on Wednesday. We'll see how that goes. Peyton, no real update. You know, he's still in the rehab process, as is Matt Curtis. And then Noah is still in the process of recovering from his injuries, which aren't really rehab. They're more healing time. So he's working on that, but he's getting closer. So that's really the cryptic update, I would say.
You know, but Ryan is close, so that's encouraging. And even seeing him perhaps on Wednesday when you play Columbia.
Possibly, yeah. We have, you know, we'll see how he does. He practiced a little bit today. We'll see how he does tomorrow, and we'll make that decision as the game unfolds.
Okay, and next game is always the most important game, Coach. We're speaking to you on Monday of Thanksgiving week, and you've got Columbia the day before Thanksgiving. Your thoughts matching up against Columbia, the kind of test that they're going to provide?
I think it's going to be fun, Bob. They're good, and, you know, we're pretty good, too. And, you know, they score. They made 17 threes. I watched a game last night. I've seen other film on them, but yesterday afternoon, I should say, I watched their game against Longwood. They made 17 threes, program record. Multiple guys made them. They can score the ball. Offensively, they're getting better and better. They really rebound the ball. They got a 40% offensive rebound percentage. So they go after offensive rebounds. They're big. They play two front court guys at one time. So it's not the traditional or the evolving four-man that you see in college basketball. Mm-hmm. It's more of a perimeter guy. You know, so they have that. So they present some challenges. They got good overall size. You know, they go, their starters, they go like 6'3", 6'5", 6'8", on the perimeter. And then they go 6'9", and 6'10", inside. So they got size. So they do some things really well. So we're excited about the game. You know, I think for us, we're hopefully going to make the game a little bit faster. We don't want to get into a walk-up chess match with them. But they'll run a little bit, too. They're not a team that won't run. But we want to, you know, maybe make those front court guys play a little bit faster.
And how's the team going to handle Thanksgiving in terms of going back home? Do you have enough time? Because you play Columbia on Wednesday, Thanksgiving on Thursday, but then you have New Hampshire coming up on Sunday here at Mahoney Arena. So what's the itinerary for the team coming out of the Columbia game?
Yeah, so we'll take Thanksgiving Day off. And normally what I would do is I would, you know, have the team to my house. But we have a lot of guys that live close, that are regional, you know. And I don't want to have an event at my home and keep them from their families. Yeah. You know, they don't get as much of a chance to see their families. So, you know, I feel it's better for them to be able to get home and be with their families and their people. You know, the guys that are a little further, our team, you know, we have great teammates, so they're bringing guys with them to their home.
Nice.
So everybody will have a place to go, which will be great. And then we'll reconvene on Friday and practice Friday, Saturday, and play Sunday.
So I'm stuck on this time thing. I'm really pissed off. It's a 7 o'clock game. Why wouldn't you schedule it like 1 or 2? And let these kids have more time to go home.
I got a lot of things in my wheelhouse, Joe. I don't have any scheduling time powers. So, you know, I don't look at any of that, but I understand what you're saying. So, yeah.
Joe, do we consider that those the final words?
No.
Okay, it's time now.
My turn?
It's time for Joe's final words.
I haven't been around. I haven't coached in a long time, but I think the signing period just came and gone. Are you allowed to talk about who you signed? And we all know, like, some of the commitments and things like that you got. Did you sign a guy who was supposed
to? Yeah, so we got four commitments. They all signed. I can comment a little bit because they have signed. We're excited about all four of them. We got Osiama Sako out of St. Francis Prep down in the city, who's a front court guy, probably going to be, along with a bunch of other guys, in the Catholic League, but he's a candidate for possibly player of the year, along with some other good players down there in the city. We got Braden Jones from Brewster Academy, who's another front court guy, about 6'8". He's a Connecticut kid. up at, he was at East Catholic. He's been up at Brewster now. So we're excited about him. Very physical, athletic front court guy. We picked up a couple guards, Jaden Brown out of Bergen Catholic, who's going to have a great season. We're very, very excited about him. He can shoot it, score. He's got good size. He's athletic. And we picked up Ja Hatchett from Putnam Science Academy. He played in the backcourt last year with Tony Williams. Plays on and off the ball. Very physical guard. Can drive the ball. Very good defensively. Great, great court demeanor and personality to him. So very much excited about all four of them.
Sounds like a great class. The Bergen Catholic's becoming quite the pipeline for the Fairfield Stags, isn't it?
Yeah. Todd has done a great job of, you know, they love him over there, as they should. You know, he had a really good career. And more importantly, he was a good person, really good representative of that high school. So he's done a good job of keeping us involved there with their good players.
Coach, as always, appreciate the time, and most importantly, all the best to you and your family for a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.
Likewise, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you both, and happy Thanksgiving to all our fans out there and students and, you know, faculty and staff. I hope everyone has a safe Thanksgiving and enjoys their time with their families.
And that will do it for this edition of Open Court with Chris Casey. And remember to watch for Open Court Player Edition, this time around with Deuce Turner. And we'll join you here again in Open Court with Chris around December 9th or 10th or so, shortly after the start of the MAC season. I mean, it comes at you quickly. You've got Columbia on Wednesday. We're talking to you, we're recording this on a Monday. Columbia Wednesday, New Hampshire Sunday at Mahoney, and then the Stags will kick off the MAC season with those two December games that has become part of the routine. That'll be road games against Manhattan and Merrimack. So we'll talk to you shortly after those two MAC games that have been played. So, as I said, comes at you quickly, and we'll have plenty to talk about in the very near future here on Open Court. So for Chris Casey and for the Fairfield Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis and for Drew Kingsley, who helped engineer things today, I'm Bob Hiesler. Thanks for listening to Open Court.